Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Again, my name's Tom, and I am here on many different levels. So my parents are John and Lynn Franklin, and so we love this church. My wife and I are also missionaries supported by your church. I have been doing RUF, which is the college ministry of our denomination, for the last 10 years. At Birmingham Southern College, and this church has faithfully supported and prayed for us, and we have felt cared for. So I just wanted to start by saying thank you, and it's an honor to be able to preach the Word of God with you as well. So thank you. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn it to Luke chapter 8. If you are new to the Bible, Luke is the third book of the New Testament, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Luke chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 4 through 18. At RUF at Birmingham Southern, we stand when we read God's Word. So if you are able, I invite you to do that with me now. So please stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke 8, verses 4 through 18. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. This is God's word. You can have a seat. On January 12th of 2007, the Washington Post decided to conduct an experiment in the Washington, D.C. subway. There's a platform on the at the subway station where it is one of the busiest parts of the subway. And one morning, the Washington Post decided to do something unique. And you maybe have heard this story, but they decided to see what would happen if they put the world's best violin player on that platform, disguised in street clothes, playing a violin for an hour, and they wanted to know what would happen. And so they placed Joshua Bell, who is considered by most to be the finest violinist in the world, on this platform, and the cameras rolled. And you can actually go and watch this online. And if you read the article that the Washington Post writes, they said that they assumed that people would pass by for a while, but eventually someone would notice that there was something different about this violin player. That maybe it was because he was playing on a Stradivarius violin that was worth over $3 million, or maybe it was that he was playing Mozart, but whatever it was, surely a crowd would form, and eventually there would be a lot of people that would stop. In 1 hour, Do you know how many people stopped to listen to Joshua Bell? Seven. Seven people stopped, and everyone else just walked on by. And the people that were conducting the experiment scratched their head and they said, how could this happen? This is Joshua Bell. He had just played the night before in a sold-out auditorium for $100 a ticket. And here he is, and everyone just walks on by. How could this be? That's a good question. The text that I just read begs another question very similar to that. And it's this. In the first century in Palestine, how is it that the long-awaited Messiah, the one that the entire Old Testament predicted and spoke of, the one that everything in their culture wanted and looked forward to, had arrived on the scene, and most people just walked on by? You see, in Luke 8, Jesus was starting to make a stir. He had already preached the Sermon on the Mount, which I think you're going through for the summer. And people were starting to notice that there might be something unique about this guy. But what's fascinating to me and most scholars as you look at history is that in that culture, everything that they wanted was found in Jesus, and yet he burst onto the scene and people just walked on by. They weren't sure what to do with him. And for the sake of this morning, I'm going to push it a little further and I'm going to ask us this question. How is it that this same Jesus is everything that your heart longs for? This same Jesus is everything that you and I want. He has said to you and I that I offer you freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation forever. He has said to us clearly that he is the one that our hearts long for. And yet, so many of us just walk on by with our earphones in. That's a good question. And Jesus actually tries to answer that question in this text. And Jesus knows you and I because Colossians 1 says that he was around when we were created. Something he knows about us is this. We process reality in the form of a story. Jesus knows that if you just put words and phrases together and you line them up linearly, we'll listen to them and we'll hear them. But if you put those same words and phrases into the form of a story, our hearts engage with it differently. And he knows that about us. And so when Jesus was alive on earth, he told a lot of stories. And the stories that Jesus told are called parables. And this was Jesus' story to try to answer this question. He said, once upon a time, there was a farmer. And the farmer went out to sow his seed. And he began to scatter the seed. And many of you know this. But in that day, they did things in reverse. They scattered the seed first, and then they would till the ground. Whereas we till the ground and then scatter the seed. So the farmer goes out and just scatters the seed. And Jesus says in his story that some of the seed fell on the hard path and it just bounced onto the path and it just stayed there until birds came and picked it up. And then Jesus says some of the seed, as it was scattered, fell on the soil that was rocky and it was not good soil, and a little tiny plant might have grown up, but eventually there were no roots, the roots weren't in anything good, and so the plant withered up. And Jesus says some of the seed fell onto good soil, but sadly there were also thorns and weeds in this soil, and so the thorns and weeds grew up alongside the plant, and eventually over time those weeds and thorns choked out what was once a healthy plant. And then Jesus says some of the seed fell on really good soil and produced a crop that a farmer would say is absolutely impossible, 100 times what was sown. So that's Jesus' answer to the question. The gospel is proclaimed and 1 in 4 believe. Is that a satisfying answer to anyone? Well, thankfully, it was not okay to the disciples. And they said, Jesus, we're going to need you to explain this one. This is why I love this parable, because there's actually an explanation. And so Jesus says, okay, I will explain it to you. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. Thank you, Jesus. The seed is the word of God. So when we think the word of God, we think the Bible, rightfully so. But in that day, they didn't have this. So when you think of the seed being the word of God, you could think the seed is the words of God or the words of Jesus as they go out. Okay, this is a good explanation. Thank you. And the gospel message or the words of Jesus are scattered about like a farmer scattering seed. And so we're snuggled up at Jesus' feet because he's telling us this story about a farmer scattering seed. And then wham, he says, and there are 4 types of people in the world. And all of a sudden, Jesus is talking about you and me. And this is one of the brilliant forms of communication that parables are, because what do? When we hear story time, we draw near. We're drawn into the idea of a story. We like stories, and they talk about reality and fun things. And so here we are, drawn into this story that Jesus is telling about a farmer and seed, and then all of a sudden it hits us that he's talking about us. And we're going to have to do some work here. Because what Jesus is saying is that everybody in here represents one of 4 types of people. And Jesus says the first person has a hard heart. The first person represents a heart that when the words of Jesus are spoken, either in a song, in the scriptures, in a book, or in a sermon, or from a friend, the word simply just bounces off. Or it just sits there, and it cannot penetrate into that person's heart. Or another way to think about it is that this person has Teflon, and it just slides right off. Or another way to think of it that might hit home to some of us is that the words of Jesus are always for someone else. So-and-so needs to be here to hear this. Or yes, that would sound good for someone else. I will confess to you that this is me for the first 18 years of my life. I was in church, I was doing all the right things, but the words of Jesus did not penetrate into my heart. They simply bounced right off because I was busy trying to be a good kid. And I know some of us in here can relate to this. Jesus goes on to describe another type of heart or another type of person. And he says that this is the person that does put down some roots, but they're in the kind of soil where the roots don't grow, rocky soil. And in the time of testing, Jesus says, this person falls away. Yesterday, I had both of my kids out in the backyard pulling weeds with me. And it was actually a fun ordeal for them. I think I'm going to do it more often. But I explained to them that if you hold the bottom of the weed and you pull it up from there and not the top, that you can actually pull it up with the roots still hanging down. Now, thankfully, it's rained a lot in the last week. But my kids had the best time going around, pulling one, going, I got one, I got one. And they could see the little roots just hanging down. It's exactly what Jesus is describing. This is the kind of person that at one point in their life said, Jesus, I do want to follow you. Jesus, I do believe in you. But their roots do not go down deep. It's in rocky soil. And here is the best way I could think to describe this. The rocky soil that those roots go in is a deal that they make with Jesus. And it goes like this. Jesus, I will follow you as long as you give me X, Y, or Z. Jesus, I will trust you as long as you give me ease of life and comfort. Or Jesus, I'll follow you if you give me intellectual certainty. Or Jesus, I'll follow you as long as you give me assurance that I won't go to hell when I die. Whatever it is, it's a deal. I'll follow you as long as you give me this. And the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon told a story to illustrate this. He said, once there was a carrot farmer, and this man grew carrots. And when he had grown his best carrot that he had ever grown, he took it and he gave it to the king. And he said, King, this is the best carrot I've ever grown, and I want you to have it. And the king looked at his heart and said, thank you. In fact, I own all of the fields around your carrot farm, and I'd like to give them to you to take care of. And the man walked away. Well, there was another man listening in on this conversation, and this man grew horses. And this man thought, wow, he got all that just for a carrot? And so he said, King, I raise horses for a living, and here is the best horse that I could have ever raised, and I want you to have it. And the king said, thank you, and walked away. And the man said, wait a minute, I just gave you a horse. And the king looked at him and said, what you don't understand is the carrot farmer gave me the carrot. You just gave yourself the horse. There was a deal involved. And that's something the way Jesus is describing this second soil or this second person. Jesus, I'll follow you if you give me this. And when that doesn't work out, in the time of testing, as the scripture says, they fall away. Jesus goes on to describe a third soil, which is perplexing to many. Many commentators don't understand this third soil, and I'm not sure I do either, because it suggests that this is a fruitless believer, which we know that in scriptures is impossible. But this person genuinely seems to be following Jesus for a time, but we know that thorns and weeds are growing up alongside the plant, and eventually the thorns and weeds, life's worries, life's riches, and life's pleasures choke them out, and they become fruitless. And I would imagine that this person is the most miserable of all, because this person has tasted the sweetness of walking intimately with God. That there was a time where they can recall a nearness and a closeness to their relationship with God. But over time, the weeds and thorns have choked them out, and they feel guilty all the time. And then just Jesus describes a fourth person, and it says that this person has a soft heart. That the seed, the words of God, fall on this heart, and this person is able to stop, to listen, to reflect, and their hearts are soft. And then Jesus gives us this command, and I have to say that it struck me when I read this passage over and over again, but in verse 18, Jesus says to you and I, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how it is that you are hearing. Not to me, but to the words of Jesus this morning. How is it that you are hearing? As I thought about this sermon, I even just thought, what an odd thing it is that we're doing here this morning. In our fast-paced, technological culture, you have agreed to sit there for 25 minutes and listen to someone talk. And he would never want me to say this, but I believe that you have one of the best around in Brad in communicating the gospel. Amen. One of the best. But yet, in today's society where everyone is go, 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 you come in and you're willing to sit for an extended period of time and not just listen, because you know that a sermon is not a lecture. There is something unique that happens in a sermon. The words of God, we read earlier, the words of God are living and active, which means in a sermon, you don't simply just take in information, but the words of God actually are intended to jump off of this page into your heart and cause you to reflect. But the only way you and I can do that is if our hearts are soft. And so it's a real question that we have to ask, and this is a more reflective than normal sermon, I'll give you that. But Jesus wants you and I to stop and to think, how are we hearing from Jesus this morning? How is it that you're listening to the words of Jesus this morning? It's a good question, because Jesus goes on to say, if your heart is soft, then the parables will give. It's a very strange verse where Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. It sounds harsh. I'm not sure I understand it fully, but here's my best guess. What Jesus is saying is that to those who have a soft heart, the parables will bring to life. They will teach us. They will show us more of reality. They will show us more about what Jesus is like and how beautiful he is and what an amazing world we live in and the realities that we walk around and we're so blind to. But if we have a soft heart, the parables will bring them to life. But Jesus also says that if our hearts are hard, that the parables will take. And I think what he means by that is that most of you are familiar with high school football and how high school football coaches tend to yell a lot, right? It's just what they do. They yell at the guys. But I remember my high school football coach saying, the day that I stop yelling at you is when you really need to be worried. Because that means that he's given up on me. He doesn't see the potential anymore. He's not willing to work with me. And in a sense, what Jesus is saying is that if your heart is hard, the parables are going to take. They're just simply going to be a story. A silly one at that. And they're just going to be for someone else. And so what Jesus wants you and I to do this morning is to take a minute and to reflect and to say, where is my heart this morning? Where has my heart been this week? Where has my heart been this summer? Where has my heart been this last year or two or 10? He wants us to do the work this morning of stopping and considering and being honest with him. Where is my heart? Is your heart hard to the words of Jesus this morning? Do the words bounce off? Are they for someone else? Can you think of a time where you did say, Jesus, I do trust you, but can you also remember the deal that went along with that? Jesus, I'll trust you as long as you give me X. And can you see how in the time of testing that led to a falling away? Or possibly you're here this morning and there was a time in life where you walked closely and intimately with Jesus. You know what that's like. I love being on the college campus because I think 18 to 22 is the sweet spot for someone to start asking the right questions and for God to break through and for them to understand and figure out what it looks like to walk closely with Jesus. But for so many of us, 18 to 22 is a distant memory. And we're guilty about it. Because life's worries and riches and pleasures have choked us out and we're not growing. Or maybe you're here this morning and your heart really is soft. Let me say this about having the fourth soil. I don't think what Jesus is saying is that some of us in here have soft hearts and we are producing a hundredfold crop daily. I think what Jesus is saying is that the fourth soil is the one who is able to honestly assess which soil they are currently in and is able to be honest with God and say, God, this is where I am. That's what it means to have a soft heart. It's to be honest and to say, God, I've put my roots into something else. And maybe you haven't come to the time of testing, and you haven't come to the point where you see that the roots that are in that are not going to last. They're not going to satisfy. And maybe you haven't come to the point where you realize that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the only thing that if we put our roots in it, it will never let us down. And maybe you're here this morning and you just have to say to God, God, I have never felt like my heart was soft. God, I have never felt like you have broken through the hardness of my heart. But are you willing to admit that to God? You know, this text says, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And as a child, we think of that as a scary thing. But for those of us that are able to admit and think about this in a mature way, that just simply means that God knows. He sees your heart. Can you be honest with Him? And can you say to your God, this is where my heart is? This is what the parables do. They draw us in and they cause us to reflect. Are you able to do that this morning? Let me pray for us. Jesus, it says in your word that it is living and active. And it also says that your word divides our hearts. And so I ask that even as we do the same thing we do every Sunday morning, which is transition now between a sermon and a song, that you wouldn't let us skip the work that you want to do in our hearts. Jesus, would you allow us to be honest? For those of us that are here this morning and that can admit that they don't think that you've ever broken through their hardness of heart, would you meet them in that? For those of us that can look back and say that there was a time where they felt softness of heart, but it seems like a distant memory. Jesus, would you meet us in that prayer? For those of us that are aware of that softness in our heart, but don't know where to turn or what to do with it, Jesus, would you meet us? I pray. Amen.